Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Matt Dennison here. Glad to be back with you. Thanks to Lee Kelly, who closed out last week for me on Thursday and Friday. What a lot of stuff going on. Indiana advances in the NIT. That's a big deal. They get an avenge loss against Arkansas. Really wasn't the same Arkansas team they saw in the regular season, but nonetheless a big win for the Hoosiers in some sort of postseason situation. But taking the cake, taking the big headline this weekend, Silver Creek wins the Class 3A state championship. They went to Indianapolis over the weekend and knocked off Culver Academies, a very talent-loaded team. Silver Creek got off to a good start, and once again, it was a team approach that made them too hard to catch up with, too hard for Culver to beat, and Silver Creek comes away with a surprise victory to many, definitely an upset bid, and they win a state championship. That's another state championship in boys basketball coming back here to not just Southern Indiana, but Clark and Floyd counties. You've got Borden, who kind of got the role started back in, was it 2011? You've got New Albany 3 years ago, Silver Creek now dotting from 1A to 4A, now 3A. A really, really good showing by the Dragons and for Southern Indiana basketball as well. What a memory. And even if they had come up short, the memories you make over the course of a state tournament run are awesome for kids and things that they will keep with them forever. But what a memory now that they have won this thing to go out, those seniors that did so much for Silver Creek's team to go out as state champions, to win their last game. That's something that doesn't happen a lot. You get the opportunity to win your very last game of your high school season, and those Silver Creek seniors got that done. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk to this team, to kind of wrap up the season for this great team. I know when they came back to Sellersburg on Saturday evening, lots of people there to welcome them home off of the interstate as they made their way back to the high school. Had a nice celebration for them yesterday, even though spring break is here and a lot of the corporations either were and still are or now are on their week of spring break. Still a nice celebration for them yesterday, and we're actually going to talk a lot more about Silver Creek in the program today because Brandon Hoffman is going to join us later in the program. But what a storyline. What an awesome feeling for the Sellersburg community, for the Silver Creek High School community. There's just so many reasons to be excited about those guys winning a state championship, and not just winning it, but the path they had wasn't that easy, and the state championship game they had was not easy at all. That was a very, very good team, a team that had won it a year ago with a lot of their players, almost all of their players back, I believe, from their state championship bid a year ago. And so what Silver Creek did was really big stuff. The good news is for Brandon Hoffman and for Silver Creek fans, they're going to be good too. They lose some really, really good seniors that made this thing all come together. But Silver Creek's got a lot of young talent, some that we've talked about, some we haven't talked much or at all about, but they're going to be really good over the next number of years. So I wanted to start with that. Congratulations to Brandon Hoffman. Congratulations to Silver Creek High School, those teams, those players, everybody associated with the team. And also congratulations to the community of Sellersburg. A great outpouring of support throughout the season, throughout the tournament specifically. Indianapolis, a great showing. People up there in Indianapolis have to think, what in the world is it about these guys down in Southern Indiana? Do they not have anything else to do? Because when a team locally, makes their way up there, we pack it. I mean, there's no question Silver Creek had the most fans
of any school that day, I would argue, probably, looking at attendance figures and those kind of things. So another big out showing for Southern Indiana basketball, and wanted to start with some congratulatory words to Silver Creek. Thank you for representing the area the way that you did. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us, segment one, we'll have some Hoosier headlines, as always, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us per normal on Mondays. We will recap the IU win on Saturday against Arkansas, talk about some of the big moments of the game, and get ready for what's next for this Indiana team. This NIT deal, it's a boom, boom, boom. You win those three games, quick turnaround. Thankfully for Indiana, it's home, but you win three, you're headed to New York, and that's what this Indiana team's trying to do. We'll talk with Zach about that when he joins us a little bit later in the program today. Also, later on today, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, he joins us in the final segment today for a conversation on his team. Now that they have brought home the state championship, we'll talk about the game itself, some of the moments after the game, and just some fun times ahead for this Silver Creek team as they get many opportunities to be honored as state champions here in Southern Indiana. We'll talk with him about that later in the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Again, that's in New Albany. Let's take a look at the some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And IU gets a win over Arkansas. They avenge a one-point loss from the regular season. They did so Saturday afternoon at Assembly Hall. Indiana winning the game 63-60, the final score, and doing it, obviously, without Romeo Langford. Romeo out with a continuing back problem. He's kind of on a day-to-day status, it sure seems, based on what Archie Miller has had or has had to say. So we'll see if he becomes available Tuesday for this Indiana team when they take on Wichita State. We'll see if he becomes available. If that doesn't happen, maybe the team will advance on to the semifinals in New York. We'll see what happens there. But they're doing it without Romeo Langford. Devontae Green, another big game. He had 18 points. There was mention before the game that he had been ill this past week, but he was able to have a big performance. 6 of 12 from the field. 4 of 9 from three-point range was Devontae Green to lead Indiana with 18 points. Jawan Morgan, he had 15 points. The only other double-figure scorer was Deron Davis as well. So Indiana able to piece enough together to get past the solid Arkansas team, who, keep in mind, was playing without their standout performer, who had declared after they did not get an NCAA bid, and it was for sure they were playing in the NIT tournament, he wasn't going to play. He was going to go ahead and focus on preparations for the NBA draft. Romeo saying after the IU game against Ohio State, the loss in the Big Ten tournament, that he had aspirations to play in the NIT tournament, if that's the path at the time that Indiana had to go down. So I think everybody expected him to play, and some back injuries keeping him out. So we'll see if he's able to make a return, or if they're going to nurse the soreness, the injury, whatever you want to label it, maybe through the end of the NIT, where he begins his NBA draft preparations next as a basketball player. We'll see how that works out. But no Romeo in two NIT games so far for this IU team. Wichita State, a very interesting opponent for the Indiana Hoosiers on Tuesday. Again, another quick turnaround. Indiana goes from a midweek game to a late week game, or a weekend game, and then to another early week game. So three in a number of days for this team. It's a quarterfinal, and it tips off at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Coverage on ESPN. Of course, Don Fisher will have the call for us here on the Big X Sports Radio with the pregame coverage beginning at 6 o'clock. Indiana takes on number 6 seed Wichita State, which is 13-3 over its last 16 games and won 63-55 at Clemson on Sunday. So this Wichita State team goes on the road in the NIT, gets a win over Clemson. They sound similar to Indiana in that they're playing their best basketball of the season, you could argue. They were, at least in the final weeks of the regular season, again putting a 13-3 record together in its final 16 games. The Wichita State team missed the NCAA tournament for the first time this season since 2011. And again, you know, this is a Wichita State team that really, to be quite honest, the last number of years, you get used to seeing in the second round, the Sweet 16, maybe even the Elite Eight as well. They've had quite a run as a, I guess on paper, still a mid-major program that comes out of a conference that's considered a mid-major conference. But nonetheless, for Indiana, this is an opportunity to extend their season. And, of course, what would be up next would be Tuesday, April 2nd. Hard to believe we're almost through March, by the way. A date at Madison Square Garden. They would take on in the semifinal. The winner of this IU-Wichita State game will take on either North Carolina State or Lipscomb in that semifinal on Tuesday in New York City. So a lot on the line. You would think that these guys would want to take one more road trip, make it a couple, two, three, four-day trip, and enjoy New York City and enjoy some of the things that come with playing in historic Madison Square Garden. But they've got a tough opponent in front of them, an opponent who's winning on the road. They won at Furman to start the NIT. I mentioned earlier they won at Clemson in the second round, and now they'll play at Assembly Hall in the quarterfinal round of the tournament. So an interesting game forthcoming for the Indiana team. Also, I mentioned Silver Creek winning the state championship over the weekend. We're going to talk with Brandon Hoffman coming up a little bit later in the program. But taking a look at just some of the performances of the game, senior Zane Gross, he had a big one, 15 points for Silver Creek. I thought Jack Hawkins hit some big shots, especially early for the game. He had 8 points. He had 8 points. Ty Kessinger, also with 8 points, very steady with the basketball, was Kessinger in some of the big moments of the game. Cooper Jacoby had a great performance, a sophomore in a state championship game. He had 11 points, and Josh Landers, 6 points. I say that because he had a couple really big three-pointers for his team once again. He's had some big daggers in key situations for the Silver Creek team in the tournament, and he had extended that streak, you could say, in the state championship on Saturday. Trey Kaufman, 4 points in the game, still was also very effective on defense as well. Another very, very well-rounded performance for Silver Creek, who really led throughout. They got off to a good start. Culver struggled to hit some shots early. Silver Creek took advantage of it. They found themselves in a position late in the game where Culver was charging back, trying to make a very close game of it, but the Dragons able to hold on. They finished the season at 25-3. 25-3. What a campaign this year from start to finish, really, for Silver Creek, who finishes as the 3A state champion. And again, Brandon Hoffman coming up later in the program, but I wanted to go through some of the highlights, some of the big scores for this Dragons team in a state championship game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. When we come back, we've got Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. We will talk all about IU Arkansas. We'll preview IU Wichita State. We'll talk a little bit about Romeo and a lot more coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We are back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star, he's with us to talk some IU basketball today as the Hoosiers getting ready to host a quarterfinal game against Wichita State on Tuesday. The winner of that game headed to New York City for the NIT version of the Final Four at historic Madison Square Garden. Zach, let's start with the game Saturday against Arkansas. Kind of a revenge game for Indiana, although it wasn't quite the same Arkansas team that Indiana lost to on the road earlier in the season, missing one of their better players who is getting ready for the NBA draft. He said it flatly before the tournament began. He's going to focus on draft preparations. He made his announcement. He was declaring for the draft. And so a little different team, but still Indiana gets a win, closes the game late, and is headed on in postseason basketball.
Yeah, I thought it was a game where both sides kind of leveraged what you would expect them to do well. Arkansas created a lot of turnovers, especially early. And I think when Indiana kind of got a hold of that pressure, maybe stopped letting Arkansas set its press with makes and free throws so much, it just got a little more composed in the second half. The turnovers came down, and that's probably part of the reason Indiana kind of took the game back. Arkansas also, I thought, created some good mismatches, as you'd expect them to. They basically played five out. You know, there were times where the biggest guy they had on the floor was probably about 6'7", 6'8", and almost everybody, if not everybody, was looking to shoot a three. And so that was kind of what Indiana expected, but it took Indiana a little while to just kind of come to grips with that. On the other hand, Indiana played from ahead on the boards all game. Indiana finished, I think, plus 20 in paint points, which you'd expect because Daniel Gafford was very much kind of where things started and ended for Arkansas in the paint this season. And as you said, he was not playing. He stepped away to prepare for the draft. And so I think it was just kind of, it felt like one where both sides sort of did a good enough job of leveraging what you would have expected them to. And in the end, Indiana had maybe just a little bit more of that, particularly, it should be said, aided by a pretty solid home crowd, about 12,500 people showing up for the NIT game.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star with us, IU basketball, the conversation. This Indiana team continues to win without Romeo Langford. He's still nursing a back injury. Devontae Green, the opportunity to step up in a big way. Also another solid game from Juwan Morgan, and Deron Davis didn't do too bad either. Let's talk, though, about Romeo for just a moment. You know, everybody wants to know, and nobody knows, not me, not you, and you're at everything. You're at all the stuff in Bloomington. You're at all the press conferences. You got a lot of sources in that program and with that team. But everybody really wants to know, is this a legitimate back injury, a back soreness that Romeo is really concerned about to get healthy, to be able to play it, you know, whether it's the NIT or the next opportunity to play competitively for the NBA draft and those preparations? Or is this a kind way of saying, you know, we didn't make the NCAA tournament, I've got some little dings and nicks here and there, and I'm going to take it easy and get ready to prepare for the NBA draft? There's no way, I'm not asking you that, because there's no way for you to answer that or for anyone to answer that, but I do get the feeling with the way Archie Miller talks about being somewhat day-to-day, and he would have set out because of the same injury, even if IU had been in the NCAA tournament right now. I'm going with the feeling that this is all 100% legit, and that Romeo, and because I also know Romeo, and know Romeo would want to play in this if he could, I would believe. So any comments or thoughts surrounding all that I just said?
I mean, I think that if, having been around IU in the past and those sorts of things, I think if Romeo had just stepped away from the team, then we'd know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that would be so sort of obfuscated in the widespread way that it would need to be. You know, it's worth pointing out, Romeo's parents are still coming to games. Romeo is still on the bench. Romeo still looks very engaged on the bench. I try very hard not to be body language guy. I think that, you know, you can read into whatever you want based on what you see in a clip or a snapshot or whatever. Is it possible that they're being more careful with this than they would be under other circumstances? Maybe. But it's also worth pointing out, Romeo Langford played like 100-something minutes more than anybody else on this team this year. I mean, the idea, he played with a hurt wrist all season. He started every game until the NIT. He certainly suffered an injury against Ohio State. Like, we saw him leave the floor. You really can't question whether or not Romeo Langford has done his absolute best for Indiana this season, and whether or not Romeo Langford has kind of given everything he has. And to my mind, you know, that would suppose that a player like that probably wouldn't just absolutely pack it in. Now, again, it might be a situation where everybody's being a little bit more careful, but I'm kind of with you in that I don't know that it's as simple as, oh, this is fake, everything's fake, and they're all just saving face because they have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Wichita State, the next opponent for this team. That's a team, to be quite honest, a program, a coach, and Greg Marshall, that this time of year, with what they've done in recent seasons, you expect them to be headed after yesterday or Saturday to a Sweet 16. And they did not make the tournament this year. First time since 2011, I believe. But they've put a nice run together in the NIT. They beat Furman on the road. They beat Clemson on the road. Now they'll be at Indiana on Tuesday. What's your early sketch of this Wichita State team and the challenge that they present for Indiana?
Well, I think two things really jump out of them about them, and they're both kind of broad brush. But number one, they are, I think they've won 13 of their last 16 and 6 of their last 7. They started the season 8-11, and now they're what, I think 20-14. So like you're talking about a team that really kind of turned, I think 21-14 actually. You're talking about a team that really kind of turned things around. And I think that we all, you know, I can remember putting together my AP ballots early in the season and just kind of creating sort of a list of, you know, teams that aren't in the ballot, but hey, keep an eye on them. What are they doing? Wichita State was just based, as you mentioned, kind of that past success there. That's kind of what led me to have them on there. And I remember dropping them off pretty quickly just because it seemed like, for whatever reason, it was a bit of a down year in Wichita. But they really turned it around late. I think they flirted with beating Cincinnati in the AAC semifinal, which would have put them in line to potentially steal a bid to the NCAA tournament. But Cincinnati knocked them out and then beat Houston. And the other thing that you mentioned there, they've won 2 games on the road already in this event. And I know Furman and Clemson probably aren't going to be quite the same as you know, going to Assembly Hall. And if Saturday is any indication, Indiana's probably going to have a pretty good crowd. I don't know if it'll be a sellout. You know, Saturday was also kind of a day of convenience because it was a noon game. Parking was free. You know, there was, I think, very much kind of like a, hey, let's just go down to Bloomington today vibe and go see some basketball. But you would imagine that given where Indiana is and given kind of the momentum that's being created behind this NIT run, that Indiana will probably have, you know, maybe 10,000 fans there or more, also some engaged fans, you know, good crowds. And if that's the case, then this is going to be the toughest road environment Wichita State's seen in the NIT. But they have won twice already on the road in this competition. This isn't anything new for them, not just in terms of postseason success, but also in terms of going on the road and getting results. And I think that this is kind of going to be a team that you could have hoped that St. Francis would be a little bit like, oh, you know, we're at Assembly Hall. This is, you know, one of the great college basketball arenas. Let's just soak it in. You could have hoped that Arkansas maybe would come in a little bit nervous without Daniel Gafford, feeling a little bit like, you know, we barely beat these guys at home, and that's when we had all sorts of help from Gafford, and now he's not here. But Wichita State's just going to come in, I think, personally, just kind of spoiling for it. And Greg Marshall's a fantastic coach, and to my mind, this is going to be a really tough test for Indiana.
Yeah, I agree with you. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. We're talking IU basketball. We do this each Monday to start the week, really, here on the Hoosier Report. We're glad you're with us today. Let me ask you this. Devontae Green, another big performance for Indiana. I know he's, and others as well, getting more touches, more opportunities to score without Romeo Langford in the game. But Devontae had 18 points, 11 rebounds. I think it's safe to say that late in the season for Indiana, going back to the regular season, the final number of conference games, and in the NIT, the postseason for IU, he really has had a nice push, a nice surge, and put together some good performances, despite, even for me, a little bit of criticism and disgust at times with maybe not moving the basketball or maybe not doing something that you think, oh, that's obvious. But he's really, I don't want to say recovered well, because throughout the year he's offered some help to Indiana in various ways and scored the basketball, etc. But I really feel like the close of the season and now in the NIT, Devontae Green has maybe found his role more, and that definitely has equaled more production for him on an individual basis.
Yeah, I mean, in March he's averaging over 15 points a game, or over 14 points a game, excuse me, shooting better than 55% from behind the three-point line. I think he's averaging something like 4 assists per game in that stretch. His assist to turnover numbers are good. And I think with Devontae, it's consistency. You know, you've always, we've always kind of known it was there. I can remember him playing an exhibition game his freshman year where he was like scored like 17 or 18 points on like 9 shots, you know, and he thought, wow, that's, you know, what could this kid become? And he was always kind of a scorer in high school. He created for others. He had good assist numbers. But he was also, I think, just one of those kids that by virtue of the fact that he was the best player on his high school team was expected to score a lot. And so you always kind of knew it was in there, and we've seen it in fits and starts. You know, Indiana doesn't win either Michigan State game this season without him. On the other hand, he's more or less benched until foul trouble forces Archie Miller to bring him off the bench in overtime against Wisconsin. But in March, in every game, he scored in double figures in every game in March. He set an IU record for points in a single Big Ten tournament game with the 26 against Ohio State. The assist-to-turnover numbers have been really good. And I think that he's maybe even thrived a little bit. You know, again, I'm not trying to sort of sound like I'm putting lipstick on a pig. Nobody in that locker room is going to want to live without Romeo Langford now or, you know, ever. but I think that in some ways, Devontae Green has also thrived a little bit, knowing that Indiana needed more from him and maybe feeling a little bit more, I don't know if empowered is the right word, because I think Devontae's always been a really sort of confident kid, but feeling a little bit more of that urgency maybe. And I also wonder, too, and this is more of just kind of a schematic thing, but I wonder if it helps him that he's playing more with Rob Phinisee. And with a Rob Phinisee that is clearly back to something much more approximate to his best. You know, I think that we all kind of recognize that the Rob Phinisee that we were seeing immediately post-concussion wasn't really the full go, full strength. It wasn't the November-December Rob Phinisee. I think we can all kind of feel like we're seeing something a lot closer to Phinisee's kind of, you know, 100% now. And I think that from Indiana's perspective, you know, Archie Miller's pointed out a number of times that, like, the Phinisee Durham Green lineup barely played at all together this season until they lost Romeo Langford, if it played at all together this season. And so I wonder, too, if maybe he's being helped by not always having to be the point guard, not always having to be the guy that initiates the offense, but sometimes being allowed to be the guy that gets off the ball and goes and finds his shot within the flow of the offense, rather than maybe being the guy that, you know, you think back to Yogi Ferrell a few years ago, where sometimes Indiana would just kind of need Yogi to go a little bit on his own. I think that when Devontae Green does that, he struggles. But again, coming back to that three-point shooting number, I think when Devontae Green gets kind of his shot within the flow of the offense, and especially when he gets spotted up, he's actually a very, very good three-point shooter. And if that can continue, not just this season, but in the next season, I think it's really good for Indiana.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. I wanted to bring up this with you as well, because I have probably been as guilty as anyone as far as saying, you know, this team at times have looked like they've given up, or this team doesn't take the Indiana across their chest serious. It's disappointing through that bad stretch of games, especially a couple stand out, the Minnesota game. I don't know, maybe that was early to mid-February times slipping by here now, but I want to say this. With that said, NIT, you always see, and this year was no different, a number of the top seeds, and Indiana is a one seed, but you see a number of the top seeds go out in that first game, no matter who they're playing, no matter what the location of the game is, because they're dejected that they did not make the NCAA tournament. If they're a higher seed, they likely were one of the first four or first eight out of the big dance, the NCAA tournament. And you see teams go quick and maybe don't play all that well when they do go early in the tournament either. But Indiana, a team that I think has been guilty of that at times this year, of not playing well together, of not playing hard, of not coming out with energy to start the game, to their credit, and I want to make sure I say this, to their credit, despite the dejection of not making the tournament and being ever so close, this team that had some traits of maybe giving up at times or not playing hard at times has come out, and I think really done opposite of that. They have seemed to take the NIT serious. They seem to want to clearly move on. Even Romeo Langford, kind of to add on to your points about him and his family still coming to games, he's on the bench. I saw a couple photos from the game Saturday where he's really excited about something that had happened on the floor and cheering on his teammates with a lot of emotion, really. Kudos to Indiana, because I think there's a lot of people, and I wondered myself, I said this on this show, in between the end of the Big Ten tournament and the start of the NIT, would this team take it serious? Would they come out and play hard? Would they do some of the simple things, or would they find themselves with no energy and maybe out in the first or second rounds of this tournament? And that hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think without wanting to use the NIT to make too many broad brush statements, you know, because I think you kind of put pretty well the I don't want to say the limitations of this competition, but maybe sort of the caveats that will always be attached to an NIT appearance in modern college basketball. I know there was a time when the NIT obviously was much more prominent than it is now. I do think that these last couple games have kind of put to rest some of the more intangible questions about this team. Were they truly invested in one another, as you said, in the way that obviously any good team needs to be? Had they kind of given up on Archie Miller and you know, sort of this coaching staff and its message and its sort of day-to-day approach? And I think back to obviously that four-game win streak to end the regular season, but I think even then there was sort of this feeling like, well, yeah, but they're just healthy again and they're kind of riding this momentum, and all of a sudden the NCAA tournament's a realistic goal again, and so they're just trying, you know, to sort of sweep their way in on momentum. But, like, it would have been the easiest thing in the world to kind of fold over when you're down six at halftime against St. Francis. It certainly would have been easy to sort of, you know, let go of the season at various points in that Arkansas game. And, again, I know it's the NIT. I know it's St. Francis. I know it's Arkansas. I know you're not playing teams that are in the NCAA tournament, but Indiana's also won these last two games without Romeo Langford, their leading scorer. So it's you know, you don't get to – I guess my point is you don't get to say, well, it's only the NIT, but then not acknowledge that Indiana has also done what it's done these last couple games without its leading scorer, leading, you know, shot-getter, leading minutes guy, everything Romeo is for this team. And I think it's also just and this is one of those things that, like, I know there are people who are going to disagree with me forever. That's fine. But, you know, I'm paid to try and get to know this team and take people behind the scenes and, you know, give them my best sort of observation of what's going on. And I will believe forever that had this team had even remotely decent luck with injuries this year, you know, by now they might be out of the NCAA tournament, but we would have been talking all season about an NCAA tournament team. And I think that when you look at a team that's now won six of its last seven, basically from the point that it got healthy again, and then you look at some of those games that it lost, some of the tough luck it had against Purdue and Iowa twice and Ohio State and all that, and you remember what this team looked like in November and December, it's been a long year. It's been a weird year. I don't dispute any of that. But I do think that this NIT run is kind of proof, at least, that it's clear, number one, that this season was derailed by injuries as much as anything else, and number two, that there is kind of for lack of a vastly less cliche term, the Archie Miller project in Bloomington is still, you know, kind of moving in a positive direction. Maybe not always in a linear direction, but in a positive direction.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us on this Monday. Zach, great rundown of all things IU basketball at this moment. Thanks, as always, for the chat, and I'll look for you Tuesday night in Bloomington.
Sounds good, sir. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely, Zach. As always, with us Mondays to start the week on the program with some IU basketball talk. And, of course, Indiana heading to a NIT quarterfinal matchup, 7:30, the tip-off. 7 p.m. the tip-off, I believe. Let me bring that up quickly. And the pregame show 1 hour before that right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Yes, it's 7 o'clock on ESPN, 6 o'clock pregame show right here on the Big X tomorrow night, Tuesday evening. IU taking on Wichita State. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with state champion coach. That sounds really good. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, his team won the big win in Class 3A on Saturday night over Culver Academies, and we'll get his rundown and have a conversation about what it's been like here in these few, 48 hours or so since winning the state championship coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Monday program, and this is a fun thing to do. We're going to talk with Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, and I can now, Coach, introduce you as state championship coach of the Silver Creek Dragons with a great accomplishment for your team, your coaching staff, your school, and the Sellersburg community on Saturday night in Indianapolis. First off, everybody, Coach, and I think you've got the message probably loud and clear by now, but everybody's really proud of you guys.
Oh, man, Matt, still hasn't soaking in yet, but, man, these last couple of days have just been a dream come true.
Yeah, I can imagine. Coach, I want to ask you some about the game and some about some activities that have happened since the game, and I know this is something that will carry on for a while in celebration of your team and this great accomplishment, but you look back to Saturday night. Culver Academy's a really good team, a lot of talent. You were very clear in labeling them as the favorite, and rightfully so. You guys came out and once again used a team approach from start to finish. At first it was to build a nice lead and to maybe surprise a lot of people by not just getting ahead, but building a comfortable lead at one point. And then at the end it was using that same team and togetherness approach to hold off and win down the stretch. You called it a team effort immediately when the game concluded on television there in your post-game interview, and that's exactly what it was. It was truly a team performance in a state championship game, and you don't always see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been our motto all year, Matt. We've always had a different weapon, it seems like, every game, and it wasn't just one or two guys playing well, and everybody that played made a great contribution. And the game wasn't really a cleanly played game. I think Coach Galloway from Culver would say the same thing. You know, we were missing layups and free throws, even in the first half, that we normally don't do. And kind of the same thing for them. But, you know, I think what stuck out for us was our, like you mentioned, our team approach and then just the toughness that we showed on the defensive end as well.
We're talking with Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek's coach. Your seniors, so much discussion about those guys, not only what they did this year, but what they did to help build up the Silver Creek program so you could get to this point and compete at this level. And those guys on that big stage came through in just some miraculous ways for you, not just with performances and points and rebounds and those sorts of things, but leadership, I know, especially in some trying moments there at the close of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could have someone that would record the audio during the huddles and the timeouts. Just hearing those guys pick each other up and stay in the course and just being mentally tough. And, you know, you could pick all those four seniors that played for us. I mean, each of them did something just phenomenal in the game. And Ty did a great job on Galloway. You know, Zane led us in scoring. Josh Landers came off the bench at two huge threes for us, and Jack Hawkins may have had the play of the game taking the charge there, that last defensive stop we had. So those seniors just can't say enough of the legacy they've left.
Absolutely. The good news is, and still plenty to talk about the season, but you've got some real talent coming ahead too, these sophomores and Jacoby and Kaufman, who we'll talk about here in a moment. They had big tournament runs and a big state championship game by Jacoby as well. Coach, when that buzzer went off and you won the state championship, your team was huddling on the floor and dogpiling, I think is the term that's correct. you had your hands, both of your hands to your head, and you started, it looked like, walking toward your team, and then for a moment you turned away and look up to the crowd. But what was going through your mind? Were you just kind of struggling to believe that it was over and that you guys had come out on top as the champions?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of nailed on the head, just struggling to kind of compose and soak it all in. I think, you know, just the sheer excitement and pride that I had, you know, for our guys after the game was kind of overwhelming. And, you know, just turning and looking at, you know, my wife and my parents and her parents and just the people that are I love the most, and just a rush of emotions at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Brandon Hoffman. He helped Silver Creek to a state championship in Class 3A on Saturday evening in Indianapolis. Coach, when you came back home, I know a lot of people were probably tucked away in bed at that hour, but obviously there were still plenty of people up and ready to celebrate because there was a huge turnout for you and the team as you made your way back from Indianapolis and bussed through from I-65 over to the high school in Sellersburg. Tell us about that scene for people that weren't there. I know that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's another image I'm never going to forget, Matt. I mean, we got off at the rest stop at Henryville, and we were met by, I mean, it was like 7 police cars and 2 fire trucks, and just the caravan from there to the school. Man, that's something I'm never going to forget. We had hundreds of people, you know, lining the streets in town, and we had a plan. You know, well, we weren't going to have a celebration at the school Saturday night. We had some scheduled on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and nobody bought into that because we had hundreds of people at the school waiting on us on Saturday. So we had a impromptu celebration then too, but I mean, just you know, and I'm sure you're going to talk about it here later, but just the support that we had from the whole town of Sellersburg, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, let's talk about it now. Sellersburg is a community, and I feel, and I said this earlier, and I really said it last week, but when we have teams from this area in most sports that go to the state finals and are lucky enough to make a deep run into the state tournament, one of the things you hear when you talk to people, other coaches, media people, IHSA staff, whoever it may be, is that, wow, Southern Indiana schools really support their teams. It's awesome to see. And I don't want to say that and try to begrudge any of the other parts of the state, because obviously it's Indiana and basketball, and I think high school sports in general still really, really matter in our state. But there's something about Southern Indiana. There's something about communities like Sellersburg where the teams, despite the world we live in now, despite there being so many different options for entertainment and things to do and that sort of thing, we still kind of get old school, especially when it comes to state championships and really special moments for our community. And I think Sellersburg showed last year that they were really excited and into their baseball team when they made a trip to the state championship game. And that momentum and that type of support, it only grew for your basketball team to go up to Indianapolis and come back with a state championship.
Yeah, that's I mean, we had our whole section filled to the top, and I couldn't even, you know, it got dark up to the top of the, you know, the balcony, and there were still people as far as you could see. It was just a special thing, Matt. I mean, you know, I think of guys like our very own Lee Kelly, who's a radio guy for, you know, for you guys, and just the excitement that he had, you know, being a SC grad, and this team definitely brought our community together. I think this team, you know, Sellersburg kind of needed something like this to, you know, Silver Creek's kind of, in the sports section, we get a lot of great press, but then sometimes in other newspaper sections where we talk about referendums and facilities and stuff, sometimes we don't get the best. So this is just, it showed what we can be proud of in Sellersburg, the kids and the teams that we have.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is our guest. His team won the state championship on Saturday, defeating Culver Academies in Indianapolis. We're talking about some of his early memories of this team, and I know there will be a lot more celebrations and honors to come, but is there one moment, whether it was Saturday or whether it was Sunday or whether it was something in public, maybe at Banker's Life or something in private with your family, is there a moment that you'll already know that you'll maybe hold highest out of all this so far that's happened?
Oh, geez. I mean, I can't just narrow it down to one moment. You know, I keep thinking of a couple different things. You know, of course, our George Gerth, our stat guy, who's been with us for 61 years.
Wow.
I think he's kind of become a celebrity. The News and Tribune did an article on him, and Kyle Nedrit did one in the Indianapolis Star on him. Just seeing him, you know, on the podium with the medal around his neck, that's something I'll never forget. And then just you know, in the locker room after the game, we had a couple of those guys. You know, I'll never forget the image of Ty and Zane, you know, just emotionally just spent, just crying and hugging each other. You know, the sacrifice that the players put in and be able to reach their goal. I mean, those are two images that come to mind.
Coach, one of the great things about this is not only do you get the opportunity to celebrate some with your team and community over the next few weeks and months, but you get the chance to get back to work in the summer, in the off season, and not only do you get the chance to get back at it, but you get to do so with some really good young talent. Trey Kaufman had a terrific state tournament for you, really a terrific sophomore year, as did Cooper Jacoby. He had a huge game in the state championship for you, in addition to all the other good things that he's done this year. Brandon Northern, a freshman, got some real time at the point position for you. A freshman out there handling the ball against a really good team, one of the best in Indiana, getting some great experience on the court. So lots of young pieces. I know there are others that are there, others that will matriculate into the program as they come from middle school to high school over the summer, but lots of talent to start fresh with. I shouldn't say start fresh, but to maybe not have to start fresh, to continue on some of this tradition, some leadership coming back for you as well. Just times are good right now, not only a state championship, but for the future as well for your program.
You're right. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to talk about next year yet. definitely holding on to this one for as long as I can. But you know, the future is definitely bright. You know, Trey and Cooper, I think, are the two of the better players in their class in the whole state, and I think they proved that in March. And Brandon, I think, is just going to make a huge leap for the next 3 years. You know, he had great. Great leadership from Ty and Zane to kind of learn from them and cut his teeth. But, you know, he's going to be a dude for us here the next 3 years. I'm really excited to watch him progress.
One other thing.
You know, we've got some other guys in our feeder system, too. You know, the beauty about it is we've had those guys since they're in second, third grade. You know, we got some other guys coming up with them that, you know, we definitely have high expectations next year, too.
One other thing, Coach, so much talk about your young players, what type of prospects maybe they could become at the college level, which is hard to think about with so much high school basketball left for those guys. But the run in the state tournament, and now they'll go and play their summer ball, their AAU ball, get back with your team in June to play some high school-oriented stuff. But the run that they had, in addition to the great skill sets that both Jacoby and Kaufman have, the run that they had, elevating not only the program but themselves on a statewide level, I would sure think that that really would draw in even more recruiting attention at this young point of their career, getting to a state championship, having a great run through the tournament, ultimately winning it over some guys at Culver that are highly recruited as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're definitely going to blow up in the offseason for sure. I mean, you know, Trey's been, you know, got multiple offers, and of course he's getting courted by a lot of the big time schools around in the Midwest, rightfully so. And you know, he's played on the biggest stage you can play in for us here, so showed he can do well. Cooper, you know, had a phenomenal March. You know, he picked up his first Division I offer from Indiana State last week, and I expect that's going to get the ball rolling for him. So you know, those guys. Double-edged sword, you know, they played all the way up into spring break, but then I think their AU practice starts this weekend, so they're going to hit the ground rolling, I think, for that coming up soon, and I think they're going to have a great spring and summer on the AU circuit.
Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek is my guest. Coach, anything planned? I know there'll be lots of things that pop up and opportunities for your team to be part of and be recognized and be honored over the next few weeks and months even, but any other big plans for this team? I know right now I think a lot of them have disperse to maybe try to soak it in a little bit with some spring break fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you know, a couple guys are on spring break. You know, I think a couple guys are headed to baseball practice today. Actually, I know a couple guys are ready to get rolling on that. You know, Jack was a starting first baseman for the baseball team that went to state last year, and I'm sure they're expecting him there soon for practice. I mean, the support we've had from the community, everybody wanted to do stuff for us. I mean, the last 3 weeks, I don't think I've eaten a meal at home. I think the team's been taken out to eat every day the last 3 weeks. We got the ordeal with the Pacers coming up in a couple weeks where they honor all the state champions at halftime on April 7th. We got that coming up. And just other, you know, local things, local businesses that really, you know, did a lot for us, and we want to go back and spend some time with them and pay them back any way we can.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, my guest. Coach, again, job well done. And I've said this to you off air before the state final, but I want to say it on air as well. You did a tremendous job, obviously, and you constantly, in interviews, whether it was with our radio station or the newspaper or whatever it may be, deflected the credit, rightfully so, in many ways, to your players and your kids. But you, Coach, did so much right and have for years, and I am tickled to death for you to see you come out on top as a state champion coach. And don't ever forget that leadership and coaching, a big part of things too, and you and your staff, just a tremendous job, not this year only, but for a number of seasons now. And I just congratulate you as much as possible. Awesome job.
Thanks a lot, Matt. You know, it is surreal to be the head coach of a state champion, but, you know, any coach would tell you, you got to have the dudes to have it, and the players, and we've been lucky to have some really good ones that are really smart. And a lot of coaches have good game plans. Sometimes the players don't execute them, and they make the coaches not look so smart, but our kids are they were not only physically really good, but they were super sharp too, and they made us look good a lot of times.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. Coach, congratulations. I know we'll be talking again to you very soon.
All right, buddy. Look forward to it.
All right, Brandon Hoffman, state champion coach of Silver Creek. That wraps it up for this Monday show. I'll be back on Tuesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.